Okay, we're continuing our study on fruit of the Spirit, and we're on page 16 of our study guide, and we're looking at the fruit long-suffering. Before we actually go into the study guide, there's two words I want us to look at. Generally, you see this word in modern translations, or people doing stuff if they're cross-stitching the fruit of the Spirit. They usually put patience rather than long-suffering. I guess it's shorter. But they don't carry the exact same definition, although they're closely related. So if you'll pull up in the Strong's Concordance 3115, and this is, don't do that. You'd just be taking my word for it. If you would, go to the Concordance and type in the word forbearing. Long-suffering. I'm trying to give you the definition. You're not supposed to trust anybody without researching the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so you can see here, if you go to Galatians 5:22-23, which is where we're taking our text, but you can see that all the way through the New Testament, with one exception, it uses the Greek word 31:15, and in 2 Peter 3:9, it uses 31:14, which is closely related to 31:15. Now with that, let's go to 31:14. And in 31:14, you find that the word means to be long-spirited, that is, objectively forbearing or subjectively patient. Now, 31:15 is the primary word used, and this is a word used in Galatians 5:22-23, where we're dealing with fruit. And from the same as 31:16, longanimity, that is objectively forbearance or subjectively fortitude. Now, if you go to the English dictionary, if you would, let's look up these two words. We'll look up the word forbearance first, and then we'll look up the word fortitude, okay? This is the way you study for accuracy, okay? So the word forbearance is patient, self-control, restraint, tolerance, and you can see the synonym words, tolerance, patience, resignation, endurance, fortitude, stoicism, and so on. Then let's look at the word fortitude. T. F-O-R-T-I-T-U-D. There we go. Courage in pain or adversity. Synonyms, courage, bravery, endurance, resilience, mettle, so on and so forth. Okay? So I want you to understand those words, all right? Then, if you would, go back to the Strong's Concordance, and let's look up the word patience. And you'll find that this is the predominant word, 5281. You've heard of the patience of Job, right? That's in James, is where that's the patience of Job. But anyway, let's go to the dictionary and look at 5281. So 5281 is from 5278, which is cheerful endurance or hopeful endurance, constancy. And you can see the various ways it was translated in the King James Version of the Bible. And so these two words are very closely related, but yet there's a little different twist to them, okay? And so just keep that in mind as we go through this study. In James 1, let's just read our text first. In verses 2 through 4, It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Now, note he said count it. Let's look that word up, the word count. Let's just look that word up in the interlinear. And it's to lead or command, to deem or consider. And so in today's vernacular, we would say just consider it joy when you fall into divers or various temptations. Right? He didn't say it was joyful. He didn't say consider it as evil and bad. Right? It just said count it all joy. Consider it as joy. And he has a reason for saying this when you fall into divers temptation, because there's something that follows that when you go back to the, let's go back to the text, Michaela. When you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patient. So what's a temptation for? It's to try to move you off your faith, right? So count it all joy when your faith's being tested. Basically, that's what he's saying, isn't it? That the trying of your faith does what? Works patience. But then what does he say? Let patience have its perfect work. Why? It has a reason, if you look at it, so that you can be complete, entire. Let's look at this in the interlinear, perfect and entire. Look at the word perfect, if you would. Applications of labor, growth, mental, moral character, completeness. In other words, that's what it's striving for, full-age man. It's a maturity. It's a maturing process. So, let patience have its complete work. Let patience come to maturity. That's what fruit's supposed to do, isn't it? Come to a maturity so that fruit's beneficial. Then let's look at the word entire. Complete in every part. Perfectly sound. Okay? And so, how do you get that patience to that degree? Through temptation? Through adversity? Look at the word temptation, if you would, Michaela, there in that verse. Falling into... I actually want to look at the word divers. I'm just telling you definition, but look at the word divers and temptation. Divers being various in character and nature. Look at the temptation. Putting to proof. By experiment of good experience or evil, solicitation, discipline, or provocation, by implication, adversity. So then, what is the temptation? The temptation that is an adversity to come against you, and you know what it's going to do? It's going to see how disciplined you are. Isn't it? Okay, so he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete, that you may be entire, lacking nothing. A mouthful, isn't it? I won't ask you how you respond to stuff, so you can evaluate yourself, okay? And then in James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, it says, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy who endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I guess about everybody's heard about Job, right? But what was Job going through? An adversity? What was it? A temptation to get him to accuse God, curse God and die, is what his wife told him. Just accuse God for what your bad lot in life. Isn't that what people do today? You let something go awry, something that's unpleasant, and who's the first person they accuse? It's going to be God. Why did God let my baby die? Why did God let this happen? Why did God let that happen? It's an accusation against God. That thing is there as a temptation to get you to accuse your Savior. The only one that can save you or deliver you, then Satan is trying to get you to accuse Him. Listen, if you start accusing the one who's trying to save you, you have a problem. Now who's going to save you? Interesting when you look at this, okay? And so, what was the outcome of Job? Job is the example, I could say the epitome in humanity, of patience. I don't know how true it is, but some say that this lasted approximately 9 months. I don't know how long it lasted, but it lasted a long period of time. And yet, here's a man that's suffering physical pain, not only physical pain, but he's suffering mental anguish that goes with that. And the guys that are supposed to be his friends or his comforter are bringing anything to him but comfort. They're a discomfort, you understand. But yet, through all this period of time, he never charges God foolishly. He never sins with his mouth. In all the temptation, in all the adversity. That's pretty incredible when you think that Job is believed to be the oldest book of the Bible. How a guy who, without the Holy Spirit living, dwelling on the inside of him, is so sold out to God that he won't deny God, he won't accuse God. Do we only take good at the hand of God? That's what he told his wife. And see, that's what a lot of people think. And the modern day faith movement has brought that type of mentality into the church that if anything's going awry, then there's something wrong with your faith. And it's accusing a lot of people. Evidently, they've never read the 11th chapter of Hebrews about all those people who died in faith. Died in faith. Abraham, he was looking for a city with foundations whose builder and maker was God, but he didn't see it in his lifetime. But he never let go of it, and he's going to see it, just like we're going to see it. You understand? And so always remember that anything that attacks your long suffering is designed to get you to accuse God. It's a temptation to accuse God. Don't fall for it. Okay? And so there's some things we'll learn about all this, all right? Long suffering is much needed in the modern day church today, in this society especially. And I'm going to use these two words together, long-suffering and patience, so humor me. That's why I gave you the definitions of both at the beginning, because I believe that they are closely related. We need this quality, yet very few seem to be producing this fruit of the Spirit. And the only way it's going to happen is to stay united with the vine. We've got to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only means of producing this long-suffering. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branches bear the fruit only if they're in union with the vine. So we have to stay in union with the Lord. But what happens if I start accusing my Lord? I'm breaking away. Now what happens if I break away? I lose my ability to produce fruit. And you see this happen so often, or at least I do, and I hear so many things, and sometimes you back me in a corner, you're probably not going to like what I have to say. I had a lady ask me, she kept on and on and on. An infant died. Why did that baby die? Why did that baby die? Why did God take this baby? Why did God do this? And then she just came right in my face. Why did God take that baby? I said, ma'am, the God I serve is not a murderer. Well, she didn't talk to me anymore after that. You have to learn who the murderer is. You have to learn who the thief is. You know, it's amazing how the devil doesn't do anything wrong. God's the one that does it all wrong, to hear some people say it. So they want to accuse God and not give the blame where the blame is. Death is an enemy of God. God doesn't use His enemy against me. And that enemy will be destroyed, you understand? It will be put underfoot. And so we have to learn not to listen to a lot of things that come our way that tempt us in accusing God. We've already looked at the definition of long-suffering, and we generally define it as patience, and I just give it a sort of a summarized personal definition, if you will. That's the ability to suffer without complaint. Webster Dictionary defines long-suffering as long and patient endurance of injuries, insults, troubles, etc. The fruit of long-suffering actually is just the ability to endure hardships and afflictions for a long period of time. Do you get that word, long-suffering? So if you just say patience, you're not thinking about long, per se, okay? And so it's the ability to endure these hardships and afflictions for a long period of time and not complain. Not complain. Job had a lot of questions. I'm going to paraphrase all this, all right? So humor me. I'd like to have an umpire to sit down between me and God and find out what's going on. Because these guys are saying that I've sinned against God, and I know I haven't. And yet, I don't know why this is going on in my life after I've served God the way I've served. So I would just like to have an answer as to what's going on. And if you've ever deliberately read the book of Job, you find up until the 37th chapter, after his friends come in, they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Job said, "You're miserable counselors." And finally he just said, I all the wisdom must have died with you guys. In the 38th chapter of Job, God shows up. Who is this that darkens counsel with words without knowledge? You know what that is? Who is this who's talking about stuff they don't know what they're talking about? And Job didn't accuse his comforters, if you will. And God starts talking. Now here's a man in pretty severe suffering. Boils. Top of his head, the sole of his foot. I can't imagine the pain the man was in. God said, "Get up and act like a man." Woo! And then he starts saying, "Where were you when? I did all these things and all these things." And then, my paraphrase again, he asked him, "Would you like to run the universe for a day?" Job says, "I'm just going," and the Lord said, "Answer me." He said, "I'm just going to put my hand over my mouth. I've already said too much." You understand? And God goes on. And you get to the 42nd chapter of Job. Job said, "You said, who is this who's speaking about things they don't know anything about?" He said, "Me." He didn't say his friends. He said, "I spoke of things too wonderful for me. I used to know you by what I heard about you. Now I know you by experience. And I don't like me." That's my paraphrase. You go back and read it. But that's the conclusion. You understand? And I'm going to tell you, when you get into the presence of an all-knowing God, you're not going to be really impressed with you. And too many people are too impressed with themselves because they haven't experienced God. It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to experience God. And I want people to experience the Lord. I don't want them to know something because the preacher said so. I want them to know it because they've had a personal revelation of the Lord. You understand that these things are very real to them. If I've tasted and I've seen it's good, I'll be more convincing in trying to get you to taste it. You with me? And so we need to know the Lord. And I have great respect for Job. Because in reality, what was occurring was the devil had accused him before God. Job's just serving you for what he can get. Here again, I'm paraphrasing all this. No, he's not. Well, take his stuff away from him. You take his stuff away and you'll see, he'll curse you to your face. But what did God say? He's in your hands. God didn't take his stuff away from him. So Satan did. How did he do it? He moved on the hearts of people to rob him. Or even a whirlwind to take the house down and kill his children. And so when you think about it, here's the wealthiest man in the East that loses all his substance. And what does he do? He falls on his face and worships God. Isn't that incredible? And never sinned with his mouth. Well, that didn't work. So you get to the second chapter of Job, and here Satan shows up again. God said, where have you been? They said, walking up and down the earth, to and fro. God said, how about Job? God bragging on his boy, you understand? Well, life. I tell you what, if you afflict him, he'll curse you to your face. I mean, a man wants to be in good health. God said, it's in your hand that you can't take his life. And so now, he's physically afflicted. Mentally, physically, his possessions taken away. Now you know why he talks about the patience of Job. What did he see? His patience allowed him to see God in reality in the end, the heart of God who gave him twice as much as he had in the beginning. That's what God did to Job. He gave him twice as much as he had in the beginning. What the devil did with Job was try to take him out. But Job was patient in that. Now, I said all that not to teach on Job, per se, but to let you know that that's what comes against your life. That's the attacks that comes against you. It's good and evil, light and darkness, God and the devil. God's thoughts towards you are peaceful thoughts. God has a future and a hope for you. Satan wants to keep you from reaching that future and hope. So how does he do that? He'll come at you with different adversities to try to get you to move away from the Word of God, to get you to accuse God, blame God for all your plight in life. When in reality, Satan's the one that's doing it. And so understand why these things are set up the way they are, to get you to accuse. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, right? Okay? So just remember that. God's not. And so all that is an example to us so we can see how this operates. Temptations are coming. But now James says it this way, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But a man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, what does it do? It's going to bring forth sin, isn't it? And so, here, you've heard me say it so often, and I'll say it till the day I die, I guess. Your thoughts are your enemies. They can, or your thoughts can work well for you. You with me? If you get your mind on the negative things, then you're going to have a negative experience. You get your mind on the positive things, you can have a positive experience in a negative situation. You follow that. So we have to keep our thinking right. This is a key to producing fruit of the Spirit. Your mind is fixed on the Word of God, so your thoughts are on the Word of God, not on yourself, not on poor old me. And all these circumstances of life, we have to keep our thoughts fixed on God. Everybody in the room's had opportunity to say, "Why me, Lord?" I had a person to call me and ask, said, "Why me?" I said, "Why not? What makes you special? That the devil won't bother you." You understand? We have to stay established on the Word of God. And here again, I'm not talking about getting a persecution complex. I'm just talking about keeping our mind fixed on the Lord to where we don't play into the hand of the devil. See, that was Job's salvation. He kept his mind on the Lord. His wife, on the other hand, was thinking about all her losses. And she was wanting him to accuse God. And he wouldn't play into the hand. People will try to get you to accuse God. Blame God. They'll try to pull you into a negative conversation because of a bad situation in your life. Well, why did that happen? I don't know. Do you? No. You're not God. So don't try to give me explanations of why things happen when you're ignorant as I am. And it do us all good to plead ignorant on a lot of stuff, you understand. It help us stay on track. Now, long-suffering is a product of the Spirit, fruit produced out of the inward man. Patience is not received as a result of prayer or the laying on of hands. Patience is produced. I was ministering on the Holy Spirit at a church. I was invited to speak there for a seminar on the Holy Spirit, and then I prayed for people, you know, at the end of the services, and a lady came up, and of course, if you come up, I'm just going to ask you, you know, what is it you want? What do you want me to pray about? And one of them said, "I want you to pray the devil leave me alone." I said, "So what you're asking me is you want me to pray for you to die?" "Oh, no." I said, "Well, that's all the way the devil's going to leave you alone. He didn't leave Jesus alone." I mean, I was kind to her. I prayed for her, but I just wanted to rattle her cage a little bit to get her to a reality. The devil's not going to leave you alone. You get yourself built up in the Word of God, and you resist the devil by staying submitted to the Word of God, and the devil flees from you. You follow me? And then I've had people to ask me, "Well, how about praying that I get patience?" I said, "Well, I'm not going to pray for you to get patience, but I'm going to tell you how to get patience. Tribulation." "So you want me to pray for tribulation to come into your life?" "No." "Well, that's the only way you're going to get patience." How will you ever develop patience if you never have to wait on anything? Never thought about that, right? This is a fast food society, fast everything society. I want it, and I want it now. And we're not reading the Word of God. We're not understanding how things work. And faith is I'll just tell you this. I'll jump ahead of myself. Patience is a working partner of faith. Faith doesn't work without patience. They work together. And I'll show you that as we go through this study. But I know from Romans 5:3 that tribulation works patience. I know from James, the trying of your faith works patience. That's tribulation. You understand. But what does he say? Let it work. Don't succumb to it. But here's the thing about this. In Romans 5, actually, if you would, okay, let's look at Romans 5, 3. And let me just read this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. How many of you glory in tribulations? Woo! Thank you, Lord. No. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Okay? So actually, this working for us, if we could just understand that. I just sent someone a text yesterday. Yeah, I'm texting these days. And I reminded them of what Romans 8:28 says, that all things work together for good to those. There's two qualifiers. To those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So if I love God and I'm called according to God's purpose, the things that touch my life, actually working together, if you look it up, is cooperate. They're going to cooperate for my good. It may not feel good. It may not look good. Count it good. Count it all joy. You understand? Father, I don't understand this, but I know by Your Word that this is working for my good. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. This is working for my good. Now, that's a decision. It's a declaration that's supported with patience. You understand? I'm going to see the end of this. You understand? Yea, though I walk through, not fall in. You with me? Okay. So, patience or long-suffering is extremely important because it is the working partner of faith. And oftentimes, patience gets lost in the shadow of faith. You hear everybody talking about faith, but they don't want to incorporate patience in with that. Yet, faith depends upon patience. Right? Hebrews, you want to pull that up, Michaela, the 6th chapter, 12th verse? That you be not slothful, but followers of those who through, note this, faith and patience inherit the promises. And then it starts talking about Abraham, who through faith and patience. Do you know how old Abraham was when God spoke to him, told him to leave, and then tells him his seed's going to be like the sand of the seashore and stars of heaven? 75 years old. Do you know how old Abraham was when Isaac was born? 100. Do you know your math? Would you call waiting for something 25 years patience? I'd call it long suffering. Right? But he had a key to this, and it's found in Romans chapter 4. You begin with verse 17. And it's talking about even God who quickens the dead and calls the things not as though they were. Now look at what he says about Abraham, who against hope, you understand, Sarah was 10 years younger than him. So she's an old woman, but to top it all off, she's barren. She couldn't have children when she was young. And now here she is, an old woman. She's 89 years old when she gets pregnant. Think about that. All right. It says, so, that God made this promise to Abraham. We're in Hebrew. I mean, we need to be in Romans 4, 17, okay? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Now, here's the key. It doesn't say he had great faith. It says being not weak in faith. He was strong in what he believed. He had a word from God. What's the word? That in your seed, that all these nations are going to be blessed. In other words, and your seed's going to be like the sand of the seashore. He has this word from the Lord, and he won't let it go. That's what it means, not weak in faith. It doesn't say he had great faith. Jesus said faith is a grain of mustard seed could move a mountain. It's not how big. People are thinking of this magnitude of faith. It's just being strong in what you believe. Do you understand that that's what salvation is? You're strong in what you believe. You believe that because you heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because you've heard that Jesus died for the sin of all humanity and is resurrected to give you life, you believe that and you receive Him as your personal Savior, that's faith. Isn't it? Believe in what you don't see. And you're strong in it, so people can't say, you're not saved. Yes, I am. Well, prove it. Faith is my evidence. And I've got to stop. Okay. All right.